Jesus showed men what it takes to lead and succeed in life. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. Join us on our epic journey of faith as we follow Jesus, the blueprint for men. During my trip to Ethiopia, I spent 2 weeks with Pastor Don McClafferty, who's traveled the world teaching about revival and discipleship. I saw real live miracles, witnessed over 100 people rededicate their lives to Jesus, and experienced a personal revival myself. For the next 7 podcasts, I will share Pastor Don's 7 principles of discipleship from my perspective. If you want to know more, go to indiscipleship.org. That's indiscipleship.org. It was a privilege to be discipled by Pastor Don. And my hope is that I share what I've learned with you, you will be drawn into a closer relationship with Jesus, and that you will become a disciple maker yourself. Think about the last date you went on. How did you get ready? Did you take a shower, shave, and put on cologne? Did you throw on some nice clothes and take her someplace special? Well, I hope at least you brushed your teeth and put on deodorant. Going on a date is a special event, whether it's the first date with a new girl or your weekly date with your wife of 20 years. It's special because you're going to spend time with someone special. That being said, you want to look sharp. You open the doors for her, you pick up the check, you want to be on your best behavior because she deserves special treatment. She is, after all, a daughter of the King of the Universe. But sometimes we take this date mentality into our relationship with God. We feel like if we're going to come into the presence of the King of the Universe, we got to clean up our act. I mean, if I'm super angry, I got to calm down before I start praying. Or maybe my addiction's reared its head again and I just need a couple days of sobriety before I can come to Jesus. You see, many times we treat Jesus like a hot date. I want to look my best for you. I'm going to put on my best clothes. I'm going to put on my best behavior. I'm going to open the door for you. Don't worry, Jesus. I got the check. But all that does is push Jesus farther and farther away from our hearts. You see, no matter how hard we try and what we do, we can never save ourselves. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, you'll find the last love letter that Jesus wrote to the church of Laodicea. And what's crazy is Jesus looks at the church and he says, "You're messed up. You think you're rich, you're wearing great clothes, you're healthy, but you are naked. You are blind. You are sick. You are in trouble." And Jesus is saying, when you think you can get ready all by yourself, you're just fooling yourself. You need my robe of righteousness to cover your sinful rags. You need medicine to slap on your eye so that you can truly see reality. You need me. So come. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is a universal invitation to all of humanity, to every single man, woman, and child out there. Jesus is saying, come. And notice what condition we're in when Jesus says, come. He says, come when you're tired. Come when you're weighed down with your burdens. Come when you're exhausted and need rest. Come when you don't think you're ready. This reminds me about a parable about King Solomon and one of his sons. One day the prince stepped into the throne room and there sat King Solomon himself. He was surrounded by nobles and generals and everything was so perfect and impressive and overwhelming. And then the prince looked at himself. And in the insecurity that we all feel going through our teenage years, he said, man, I'm not good enough. And so he vowed right then and there that he was going to be good enough for his dad. He started taking extra classes and learning extra languages and instruments, and he studied so hard and he worked out his body and he did everything that he could to earn his father's favor. But one day he looked at his robe and realized he had outgrown it. Well, the prince didn't have any money because he was in the palace, so he went to the marketplace and he stole a robe. And of course he got caught, because he's not good at being a thief, he's a prince. He was thrown into jail, and as the prince is sitting there in jail, just so full of shame, the door opens, and guess who walks in? It's King Solomon. And the boy's blubbering and crying about trying to be good enough, and Solomon puts his hand on his son's shoulder and says, "You're my son, and that's always going to be good enough for me." In Matthew 4, we see Jesus calling some of his first disciples. Verse 18 says, "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come, follow me,' Jesus said, 'and I will make you fishers of men.'" Now think about this scene right here. How do you think Peter and Andrew smelled? Well, they'd been working all night, and they were working right now in the hot sun. They probably stank. What do you think was underneath their fingernails? Mud? Grime? Fish guts? How much money do you think they had in the bank? What was their level of education and political sophistication? These guys didn't have a lot to offer. You see, when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, he didn't say, "Oh, guys, I want you to go back to your house, take a shower, get cleaned up, and then follow me." No, he said, "Drop your nets and follow me now." That means Jesus wants to take you as you are right now. Can you come to Jesus when you're angry? Yes. What about when you're depressed? Of course. What about when you're sinful? I mean, you just finished sinning. Can you come to Jesus then? Yes. Can you come to Jesus when you're confused or sick or stressed or overwhelmed? Yes, yes, yes. You see, Jesus came into a religious culture where everyone was told, "You got to clean yourself up first, and then the Messiah will come." People were constantly comparing themselves to the Pharisees with their perfect clothes, their perfect rule-keeping, and their perfect memorization of the scriptures, and so many people just said, "Man, I'm not good enough for God." And they just gave up. So what did God do? He came down to some of the bluest collar workers you can find. Dirty, stinky fishermen. And he said, "Hey guys, follow me." What he was saying is, "You're good enough right now to come to me." What's amazing in this sentence is that Jesus sets out clear responsibilities. He tells the disciples, "Come, follow me." That's their job. They just come. They just follow him. They just go wherever he leads. They're right on Jesus' heels. That's their responsibility. And what's Jesus' responsibility? He says, "I'll make you fishers of men." What does that even mean? I don't think the disciples even knew that when they dropped their nets and followed him, but what Jesus was promising was transformation. He said, "You do the easy thing. You just come to me, and I'll do the impossible thing. I'll transform you from a fisherman to a fisher of men." Now, Peter's a great story to follow in the Bible because he has his ups and downs, and that's what makes him so likable. I mean, he's just like me. But think about Peter at the day of Pentecost, or standing in front of the Sanhedrin. This man who had denied Christ, who had stuck his foot in his mouth so many times, who was always getting in the way, was standing before these people saying, "Jesus is Lord." The Sanhedrin, which is like the Supreme Court of the land, said, "Don't talk about Jesus anymore." And Peter throws his hands up in the air and says, "Okay, you be the judge. Do I obey God or man?" And what Peter's doing here, he's saying, "You know what? God called me to come, and I'm going to do that no matter what." Peter did the small job. He just kept coming back to Jesus. And Jesus did the impossible job. He transformed Peter into an apostle who preached a sermon, and 3,000 people were baptized in one day. Even his enemies couldn't deny the transformation. They said, "These are unschooled men, but they've been with Jesus." My responsibility is to come to Jesus. His responsibility is to transform me. And that's why this super religious idea of you got to get cleaned up before you come to Jesus is so messed up. Because it just doesn't work. I can't clean myself up before I come to Jesus. And if that's my mentality, I'll never get there. And that's why this lie is so dangerous. This is keeping tons of people out of our churches because, well, they're just not good enough. I mean, we know everyone in church struggles with some kind of sin, but I mean, you know, maybe he eats a little too much and maybe she gossips a little too much, but we don't really care about those sins. But that girl in the short skirt or that guy who's smoking or that person, well, those are big sins and they can't be around us holy people. And people feel that. They feel like, well, I'm not good enough for church, so I guess I'm not good enough for God. And that's a terrible way to live. That's a terrible way to witness. That's a terrible way to be the light of the world. Think about some of the people who came to Jesus. What about the leper? I mean, this guy's a social outcast. People hate him. He stinks. He's got rotten body parts all over him. I mean, he's literally falling apart. And Jesus says, come. And then he heals him. He transforms him. Think about the two demoniacs. These guys have chains around their wrists. They're probably running around naked. They've got cuts and bruises all over them. And they are possessed by hundreds of demons. That's pretty bad. And Jesus transforms them. When the townspeople come up, they see these guys and their hair's combed. They're wearing clothes and they're sitting peacefully at the feet of Jesus. The demoniacs became disciples. What about the woman caught in adultery? She's clutching a bedsheet around her naked body. She's just been caught doing a terrible thing. She knows she deserves death. She's so full of shame and fear. And Jesus defends her. Jesus says, hey, you're forgiven. Go and sin no more. He sets her free. He transforms her. Think of the story of the prodigal son. What does he do? He comes home. He comes home dirty and broke and ashamed. And what does the father do? He hugs him and accepts him. He cleans him up. He gives him new clothes. He throws a party for him and he puts his ring on his finger. The father transforms him back into a respected son. And that's the pattern. We come and Jesus cleanses. He transforms. And so the first principle of discipleship is really simple. Come to Jesus as you are. Don't worry about fixing yourself up or getting rid of your sins. Don't worry about racking up a certain amount of days of sobriety. Just come. Come to Jesus when you want to lust. Come to Jesus right after you yelled at your wife. Come to Jesus when you're bored or depressed or angry. Come to Jesus first thing in the morning. Come to him as you're sitting in the drive-thru or stuck in traffic. Come to Jesus as you're standing in the shower and you're brushing your teeth. Just keep coming to Jesus, and he will transform you. So my simple challenge to you today is to take that first step of becoming a disciple. And come to Jesus just as you are, every moment of the day. Now, first, it's going to be hard and you're going to forget and it'll happen maybe twice or four times. But as you keep focusing on this, you'll start to come into his presence more and more. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more he'll transform you. The more he'll clean you up on the inside. The more he'll set you free. Because Jesus loves and accepts you just the way you are. But he's not going to leave you that way. He's going to transform you into someone great, someone who's going to make a huge impact on the world, someone who's going to do great things for God. But you don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is come to Jesus just as you are. God bless. God's blueprint for building epic men is Jesus. When men go all in for God, they change the world. That's why Blueprint for Men is dedicated to empowering men to base their lives on the example of Jesus. One practical way to do that is through the Morning Summit. A number one new release on Amazon, this 13-week small group challenge equips men with the team, plan, and tools they need to create solid morning habits that will transform their lives. Search Morning Summit Blueprint on Amazon today. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and he's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.